Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Soul Sister Sunday on Soul Sister Radio. And this is A Heart for Worship. And I am your host, Becky Phillips. And I am broadcasting live from the parking lot of the Super Bowl SmackDown volleyball tournament. That's right. I've got a bunch of girls in the building behind me playing volleyball and just having a good old time on this Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm coming to you with the last few chapters of Not a Fan, and a book we've been reading by Kyle Eidelman. And I just first want to say, before we get into it, thank you to our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, B&B Builders, and Spa Gyms. Thank you so much for all the support you've shown over the last year and allowing this show to be brought to our listeners each week, and God's message of love to be poured into their hearts. I just want to open this up in prayer, and then we'll dive into the final few chapters of this book and then into our worship time. Father, I thank you so much for everything that you do in our lives, Lord, the good, the bad, the indifferent, Lord, and that you're just with us walking through every step of the way in this journey here on earth. I just pray, Lord, right now that you would open the hearts of the listeners, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be present wherever they are at, tuned in, Lord, and that whatever it is you have for them, to each individual heart, Lord, that you would speak to them personally and become real to them, Father, and that they would know that you are there and that you have a purpose and a plan for them, Lord, and that if they would just surrender their lives to Jesus, to follow after him, that their lives would just be something spectacular that they could never even imagine. Now, that doesn't mean there's not trials, Lord. We know that, but they don't have to face them alone, and you are there to strengthen them and guide them in every step of the way. I just ask that you would just grace the show with your favor, Lord, and that you would be with Maria and Magdalena in their next hour, Lord, and that you would just bring blessings upon those listeners that are tuned in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so I started on chapter 12 last week talking about whatever, whenever, and wherever as that last chapter. So bear with me here. What it ended up being is the last three chapters broke down wherever, whenever, and whatever, and what that meant to Jesus when he's asking you as his follower, are you a follower or a fan? And if you are a follower, pick up your cross daily and come after me, and what that surrendering looks like. And I think through this whole book, the message is love, the message is hope, the message is this is for real, this is the real deal. God is a jealous God. He'll take no other idols before him. He wants all of you, nothing separated from him. He wants it all. And Jesus is saying this isn't an easy task. This means that you follow me, not the world. And he just really goes into what that looks like and challenges. In this book, it's just been a challenge, especially for me, in what that looks like and what areas in my life personally that I need to really, in retrospect, go back and look at and say, you know what, I didn't do that, but I want to do it now. So what I want to leave you with is I just want to read a couple paragraphs out of the last few chapters in this book, and then a couple testimonies and before we go into worship, because I really, in this time of worship, want you to just pour your heart out to God and ask him to just reveal those areas in your life that really need to be surrendered to him, and that you genuinely ask yourself the question, are you a follower or are you a fan? And if you truly are committed and sold out to Christ and becoming a completely committed follower of Jesus. So in the chapter that I'm looking at, these are just a couple of the verse or paragraphs that I want to read to you. It says, when you accept the invitation of Jesus to follow him, you're not just saying that he is the top priority in your life. You're making him the only priority in your life. He desperately wants you, but he won't share you. He will settle for nothing less than your undivided attention and complete commitment. He wants you to invest in him more than you invest in your stock portfolio. He wants you to surrender to him more of your time and talent than the office gets of you. He wants you to expel more joy and energy in worshiping him than you do watching the big game. It's funny that I'm reading that. The Lord just put that on me today, so that's funny since it's Super Bowl Sunday. This is how God loved us and how he wants to be loved by us. Please understand, Jesus loves you so much. He died to have a relationship with you. He will not share your heart with anyone. He will settle for nothing less than your complete devotion and heartfelt affection. He made no compromises when he came and gave his life up for you, and he takes no compromises now as he asks you to do the same. The reason Jesus is so adamant about followers surrendering everything is because the reality is this. The one thing we are most reluctant to give up is the one thing that has the most potential to become a substitute for him. Really, what we're talking about here is idolatry. When we are to be following Jesus, who is ahead of us, but find ourselves looking behind us, we are revealing that we are substituting something or someone for him. When we finally surrender that one thing, we discover the satisfaction that comes from following Jesus that was always missing when we were holding something back. So those are just a couple of the paragraphs that I wanted to leave with you. I don't know that I'm going to have enough time to go into the other testimonies, but I will start to read one. And then I hope that you will really just take some time with him in worship today. You never think a taxi ride is going to change your life. I was halfway through my second trip to India, sitting in a traffic jam in the center of the red light district. The sun that was beaming through my window was suddenly blocked by one of the workers. Her sari was tattered and torn, and her arms were bruised. She started speaking to me and then pushed her baby girl through the open window of the taxi. My friend and interpreter said that she was telling me to take the baby back home with me. This woman was so desperate for a better life for her child. I am not a mother, but I can only imagine how much she loved that little girl that was in front of me and how much more she wanted for her. I will never forget that moment. She was not the only woman that rushed the taxi on my numerous visits to the shelter in the red light district. The shelter was a place for the children of sex workers to come so they didn't spend their entire day in the brothel. The shelter helps provide education and a meal for these children. I met a young boy named Bitu. Bitu became my best friend right away. He would sit right next to me and hold my arm as I walked around day by day. He would walk with me to the taxi at the end of the day, and I would watch from the window as he walked into the maze of brothels. At night, I would think about how the rest of his day went. Was he safe? Who was around him? What did he need? What was his future going to be like? He didn't attend school because he wasn't sponsored and his mother could not afford his education. He had a bright smile and was always so happy when we would visit the shelter. When I got back from that trip, I was determined not to let life get back to normal. I knew that following Jesus meant doing something and doing it now. He was calling me to totally step out of my comfort zone. I started a nonprofit foundation called Rescue with my friends that had shared my first India visit. We are doing everything we can to reach out in God's love to these forgotten children living in unspeakable darkness and desperation. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Follow what Jesus calls us to do means going to places of darkness and being a light, even if it's difficult and uncomfortable. I know that this is a huge issue to tackle, but when you look that kind of desperation in the face, you find out what your faith means to you. For me, it means choosing to follow Jesus and say, "Let the little children come to me." My name is Amy Turner, and I am not a fan. So please enjoy the worship music and ask the Lord, what is he calling you to do?
You are
He just loves us so much that he gave everything for us. He gave us his son. And if that wasn't the most perfect gift that he could give so that we could be reconciled with him, I don't think there's anything more perfect than that. And all he's asking for us in return is for us to make him his him our priority, to be first in his life. And when you do that and surrender what you think is better for what he has for you and you lay down your life, he gives you life, and it just has so much more meaning. And I just hope and I just pray that as you go throughout the week, you pick up this book if you have not done so already, Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. Find it on the website at notafan.com. Go to the website, you know, listen to some of the testimonies, whatever you need to do, but really get the book and read it and challenge yourself and ask God to just show you those areas in your heart or those areas in your life that you have not surrendered to him. And find out what it is that you need to do to surrender to him and make that commitment, go all out, because that's really what salvation and walking with Christ is all about. His grace is sufficient, and you may not like what it looks like, and it may not be what you think it should be, but you have to walk out in faith, even if you can't see the steps beyond that first one, and take that first step of faith and let him lead and guide you the rest of the way. That's it for me this week. Stay tuned for Maria and Magdalena with Church Reboot, and I know that they are doing a study in discipleship, so stay tuned for that. I'm checking out and going to watch some volleyball. Find us on your website and on Facebook, like our page, and join us next week and share our blog talk radio with others and let us know that we're out there, and we will see you next week. God bless.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple. This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sister Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria DiGiovanni and Magdalena Gomez, and we have the beautiful Rebecca Lawler from Virginia with us today on Soul Sister Sunday. This is Reboot, and if you don't know what Reboot is, we have been out on the road this past weekend because it is Super Bowl Sunday weekend, and people really have a bad connotation of what church is. And just like you reboot your computer, you reboot your definition of what church is. And we do that here on Soul Sister Radio. So how are you doing, Rebecca Lawler, and what is it like on the East Coast today? Are you there with us? She must not be there. Okay. JB is here, though. JB, you are calling live from Texas. Thank you so much to our soul brother for calling us. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
It's always a pleasure to have you here, especially since Magdalena is doing this series on discipleship, as what we just like to call, what, friendship, togethership,
well, it's
soul, family ship. What do you call it?
We're soldiers in training, and basically our training comes from the Word of God. I mean, we're basically going into the manual that was given to us as a way to really dictate our lives if we just surrender to the Word. And it's not easy because, you know, we're raised in a world that teaches us, in a sense, to be selfish. It's all about us, a number one, and we are number one to God in our own respective way.
but it's not about, you know, taking advantage of others or whatnot. We're really here to be servants. And it's probably a difficult role to take on as a disciple because we are really meant to serve, and we do it out of love because we are compelled by love. And everything that we say on the show, we go by biblical principles, you know, and this is basically, it's our roadmap. This is an old stone GPS, you know. It's leading us to the narrow road, although, you know, it's the longer road. You know, everybody wants to take fast track because it's a faster way of getting things, but, you know, in the end, it doesn't produce anything. And we're, you know, this is all about our soul edification, really. And this is what, you know, Church Reboot does for me. It calls me back to the truth.
And hallelujah.
It's our chief cornerstone, you know. I might be drifting off in thought, a worldly thought about this and that and, you know, shoes, purses, or whatever, you know, wanting the best of the best. But, you know, truly what keeps me grounded is the word. And, you know, and when I'm going through something humbling, it's God is saying, you know, you're meant to go through this suffering. And it's like, wow, this, you know, we want to say this sucks, you know, but in that suffering, it produces an amazing strength within us. And this week we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We basically talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit last week, although we didn't really finish the whole study to get the gist that, you know, the Holy Spirit is within us and, you know, within our faith, you know, anything is possible, you know, once we trust God. Trusting God. That is sometimes what they call walking by faith and not by sight. And trusting God is something that we're learning, too, as far as being like an eagle. And if you can trust enough like an eagle, then wow. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take a commercial break real quick because I do want to thank all of our sponsors. It's been an incredible year so far, and we've been blessed to be able to do this all this time. We're really going to start pushing our sponsors because we absolutely know that if you are being edified where you are being taught, then please take advantage of our sponsors so we can keep this show on the air. And I want to thank Rebecca Lawler Limited for her beautiful heart. We have a whole line of hearts that have names for campaigns of causes that are amazing. And I would love for you to go to Heart4, that's HEARTFORE.com, and go and look at all of our campaigns that we have there. I want you to go ahead, and if you have anything that you need in Southern California as far as home restoration, trust me, if your home is out of balance, you will be out of balance. Call BMB Builders and Restore. Remodeling. I can't say it with the jaw right now. Robert is amazing, and you can go to BMBBuilders.com and you can find him there. And then I also want to introduce you to our brand new sponsor, EducateEtiquette.com. They are an amazing up-and-coming company, and they are out to educate not only our children, but also law enforcement, as well as our professionals on how to deal with people and what is the right protocol and etiquette in every situation. Would you like to share about our situation? No.
But let's just say God has us all picking up our cross. No matter what, when you think life is tough and you're walking through the fiery furnace, know that there's always something that's worse. I want to send out a special God bless to little Nathan's family who passed away after 5.5 years of dealing with his brain cancer. So, Pastor Eric Reese, I want to also send blessings out to you, sir, because I feel your pain, but I know Jesse is just smiling down upon you, sir. And we all are humbly blessed by you. So I'm going to go ahead and give Magdalena the reins and we're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to open up in prayer and get started with this.
Get this party started.
All right, JB. Did you silent on me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had it muted. I couldn't get to the button in time. No worries.
Are you ready to get this party started? We're ready. Rebecca,
I'm always ready to get a party started.
Always. I don't know if Rebecca's there or not. It says that you're there, so go ahead and unmute when you can. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning, everyone. We just want to say thank you for joining us this day. We hope that you are all doing well. And for those who are not, we wish you special blessings, and to all our families all over the world. And if I could say hello in every language, I would, and pray in another language. I guess I could throw in some Spanish in there. We could learn some some Italian.
That's not a prayer.
All right.
Sometimes it is.
Well, dear God, good morning or good afternoon to wherever people may be, and even good night in some certain places. We just want to thank you for this wonderful sunny day and how you washed the earth yesterday. And today we just see your bright, shining splendor, and it brings so much joy to the heart, Father. We want to thank you for everyone who is listening. Thank you for them taking the time and to really just tune in to what it means to be your servant, Father, and what it means to be in love with you and have that feeling of closeness with you, and to know that you have us in the palm of your hands. As we're taught that, you know the numbers of our hairs or lack thereof. I mean, it's amazing how you took the time to create us, every little feature, every little detail about us, and how you're just the artist and say, oh, I'm going to make my daughter look like this or my son look like this. And every time he created one of us, you just had this most amazing smile on your face, because you know that you put us here on earth for a purpose. And we thank you for this purpose, Father God. I know that we get lost in, you know, being career-oriented and whatnot, but really you gave us the purpose to be your warriors, to be your soldiers here on earth, your earth angels, and just, you know, shooting arrows of love to people, trying to steer them back in your way, Father. So I thank you for the path that you have set before us. Although it's the long way, and, you know, sometimes it's the rocky road and whatnot, but it's the road that produces faith, confidence, perseverance. And, you know, this is how you're leading us, Father, because nothing amazing comes easy, and that's what you teach us. You teach us to persevere. You teach us not to give up. You give us the shield of strength to be powerful, and you walk with us, Father. You truly do walk with us in our own gardens, in the concrete, wherever we are. You're always there protecting us and looking down upon us and saying, I love you, my child. And I just want everybody to know that you love them so much, that you are so in love with us, and it's just an amazing thing to have a relationship with you and to reach out to you. So we pray for those who are hurting, Father God. We pray that the word may touch them and humble them to you, and to call out your name and say, God, I need you, because, you know, so many times our pride gets in the way, and it's okay to ask for help. And I know I'm one of your stubborn ones, Father. I call myself a little mule because I have to be steered, you know, and it's my own steering in a sense, but, you know, you bring me back and you guide me. I'm one of your little sheep, and it's just amazing to have your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your amazing grace. And Oh, truly, we are so unworthy, yet you see us as so worthy. And thank you for seeing us the way that you see us, and the love that you created us, and how you just have a plan for us. It's so great. And I'm so excited about your promises. I'm so excited about the kingdom, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us to be eagles that soar high and rise above, Father. We love you and we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and continue with the scriptures and this amazing program and series that Magdalena is teaching us. As I have come to learn over the last 3+ years, that she is a teacher of discipleship to the disciples. And trust me when I tell you.
I'm a sheeple, first and foremost.
A sheeple first. And, hey, JB, do you know what a sheeple is?
I'd like to be enlightened on what a sheeple is.
Magdalena.
Well, you know, we in the Bible, you know, there's analogies, there are parables that, you know, people are like sheep. We're really lost and we're really blind. I mean, if we don't have a sense of direction, the sheep, they'll stay. Like if the rain comes and there's a flooding, they'll stay there because they're so simple-minded in a sense. And although we're intelligent human beings, you know, in our blindness in the world, we need guidance. So we are sheeple because we're people who are sheep. So we
So, and because of that, this series is so important, especially if you have picked up your cross and you are walking and you are on a path and you are focused on what God is telling you to do with your life. This is a program for you because discipleship is not an easy road. It's not easy to do this. It's a long and windy road that's very narrow. And those that get it are on this road, and we are all grabbing and locking arms and joining voices and forces and making sure that the others know that they're not alone, that we have the tools, and we're here to be able to bless you with them. So here is that blessing, Magdalena.
Amen. So as I said, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, and this study is really to produce our faith in the word and just about, you know, the prophecies of the prophets in the Old Testament, and basically, you know, how we see those prophecies coming true. And we're going to start in the book of Isaiah, and this is really at the height of Israel's glory, was under the kingship of David. And we're going to read about, it says, the mountain of the Lord. It says, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So it talks about the last days. And it talks about all nations coming together. And this is what we see that is being prophesied. And a lot of us, you know, if we listen to the news and see what's going around, especially in you know, Israel and all the countries surrounding it, you know, it really makes us think, you know, are we among the last days? And it's really about all nations, you know. I mean, this is the battle of the world that's coming together in the last days. Then it says, you know, the word started from Zion and Jerusalem. And, you know, this is where, you know, the word came, and the word is God and was always with God. And this is just to, you know, bring us to awareness. And it kind of ties into what Maria and I are also doing with a show that we have, Soul Patrol.
It's, you know,
sound soul patrol.
It's sounding the alarms. I mean, this is like, you guys, you know, when you see a fire truck or police vehicle or ambulance, you know, everybody sets to the side because, you know, there's an emergency going on, and this is God's way of, you know, we might not hear the sirens, but look, this world is in turmoil. What we see in the Middle East, and, you know, Christians being persecuted because of their faith, or, you know, just even the way that women are treated there. I mean, we are so lucky and fortunate to live here in the States, but, you know, there's so many things that go on here that probably wouldn't go on in other countries either. So catch-22, and it's what we see in the media and how we're, you know, it's like we're trying, like they terrorize us to do images that mm-hmm. we see.
Well, let me ask JB about that, because you're quite a bit younger than I am, and just a little bit younger than Magdalena.
Not quite a bit. I wouldn't say quite a bit.
You grew up and you've been watching everything that's been going on with the news, and as far as prophecy goes, what is your perception of what is going on?
I think it's a lot closer than people think it is. You know, I don't have all the information prepared in front of me, but I know that there is prophecy that in the very last time, Israel is going to have to stand alone by itself without any help. And that's when God finishes his plan of showing Israel that, you know, they are his special people. I mean, we all are his special people, but they were his first chosen people. And in 1948, Israel became a nation again, you know, with the help of America. I believe it was May 14th, 1948. And that was a lot of the reason World War II had happened. And since now we have Israel as a nation in 1948, now we have a nation where God can finish that plan. And America has been there the whole time protecting Israel against its enemies, which its enemies have never changed, really. I mean, it's the same enemies they've had since the beginning of time. The names have just changed, you know, Edom and Moab, you know, Edom being Iran, you know, Moab being Russia. They just changed their names, so I'm sure that we wouldn't, you know, be always cognizant that these actually are real enemies of God. And Iran made no secret the fact that they want to wipe Israel off the map with a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do that. And and we've been the covering cherub, as they call it in the Old Testament, in the prophecies. And I believe that the fact that we're going through this recession, which is a depression and a global collapse of the economy, that's going to enable that to actually happen, where we won't even have the ability to help Israel anymore financially, because you're on a path to being so wiped out that they're going to have to stand alone against their enemies, you know, sooner than later. So, I mean, I could go on about robotics and the progress of artificial intelligence and things of that nature that are coming very soon in the next decade. You know, but that could take a while. But they have drone planes they're using to you know, target certain people, and weapons will become useless after a while. So we're on the path, that's for sure.
Yeah, again, JB, what Magdalena was just saying is you really need to pray about doing your own show, my soul brother, because you've got information that needs to be shared. So I really want you to pray about that. Magdalena, go ahead and take it away.
Well, we'll call him God's gangster.
God's gangster.
Or, you know, he could be in Texas.
Yeah, we're crazy.
You can call this
the bounty?
The mechanical bull.
Oh, the mechanical bull?
That is a stereotype. We are not all country down here.
Thank God, right?
Bang, bang.
You know, what was that, the old show, remember, with the Indians and the Cowboys? I mean, it was which one? It was one of those old school, you know, shows, and the guys were Cowboys. And there was the Indians, you know, and they were trying to show the Indians as the enemy. But anyway.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
We all played Cowboys and Indians when we were kids. Who did?
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to go to Daniel 2:44, and it's you know, it's about, as we were talking, it's about the kingdom. It says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, that it itself will endure forever. And, you know, this is what, you know, God is talking about. The kingdom is something that cannot be destroyed. All these countries, all these leaderships, if, you know, if it were up to God, at, you know, at his perfect timing, all of these guys can drop dead, you know, but he allows us to go on too. It is through suffering, it's through, unfortunately, through tragedies that people come to God on their knees and say, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And this is really God's way of saying, you know, I'm going to be there for you. Go ahead.
No, I think that was feedback.
Oh, feedback. Okay, got it. I thought so. I mean, the kingdom is, you know, God's word. I mean, this book, God's word, has been around for over 2,000 years that we know of. And it still stands, but it's only those who are holding on to it. And we talked about an analogy that if you were falling off a cliff, would you just hold on with your pinky, or would you hold on with both your hands? Because that's how tight we should hold on to the word of God. And it's so easy to let it slip through. It's so easy to justify, you know, why we did certain things. But, you know, at the end, we will all be called back to the truth. And, you know, it's basically setting our hearts and our sights to, you know, this is just the way it's going to be. When we do things the right way, they may take longer than most people, but it's done the right way. Because if we rush to things, we haste, and we don't always get it right. And sometimes we have to go back. And that's the part that is most difficult, going back and cleaning up our mess. And I know my life has... you know, if I want to take the short road, you know, I've had to come back and do it the right way, because God has a certain plan of pruning us and shaping us, and really that we believe that God's kingdom, God's word is forever. And then also we'll read in Daniel 7:18, and then we'll go on to our next song.
Our first song,
but you know, the intro. It says 7:18, right? 7:18, yes. It says, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. So once we are part of God's kingdom and we stay on his path, it's, you know, we will forever receive his blessings. We will forever receive his discipline, because God disciplines those he loves. And I know that in my lifetime, you know, and being around for 39 plus years now, since we're in the second month of the year, that, you know, God is walking, having me walk through some things that are challenging. And it's really, he's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And so many times we just want to say, we want to take care of things, but God is saying, I got it handled, my little girl. I'm your daddy. And you know how grateful I am for that, because growing up without a father, someone who would always be there for me in a physical realm, I know that God literally has my back. I know that he's saying, daughter, I got it for you. Don't worry about it. Just pray. Keep doing what you're doing. Go preach the word. It's about all nations coming together and honoring and praising God. And I'm just so grateful that I can say that God has been there for me. But he's teaching me how to stand on my own two feet. But he's got me. Every time I sing, he pulls me by, he must pull me by my hair, because I have a lot of hair on my head. So, you know, it's really amazing to have his blessings and that God is there for us. So with that, Maria's going to lead us on to our first song.
No matter what you're walking through, and again, it's all really understanding that we're if we made this choice, we're in the kingdom. And sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you forget, as I said, this road is long and it's windy and it's weary. And And sometimes you just have to stop and call out his name, because he is always going to be there. God says, I'll be there. And of course, he had little Mr. Michael Jackson at his little young age singing that song. And it's just really sweet that we know that God is truly there for us if we allow him to. And as we were reading the kingdom of God, it's all going to happen in the last days. All nations will come together. It's going to stem out of Jerusalem, and his kingdom will endure forever. And that's the faith and hope and glory that it gives me, and that, you know, the kingdom is truly within. And in the New Testament, we read about John the Baptist. He was Jesus' cousin, and how really he was paving the way for when Jesus' ministry started. And we're going to read in Matthew 3:1-6. It says, John Baptist prepares the way.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, making straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. I, for some reason, can see JB wearing this attire.
Okay.
And his food was locust and wild honey.
Ew.
Well, I mean, that means he was, like, in shape, and he was eating a high source of protein.
Oh, give me a break.
And honey is has many healing benefits, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It is
people
delicious.
People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So we have John the Baptist basically saying, hey, you know, not that he said this is my cousin, but, you know, it's, what an honor to really have that role in sharing about God's kingdom and these people being baptized in by, you know, water right at that point and just a cleansing of their sins. But it wasn't until Jesus came that he was able to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I can definitely say that, you know, when the Holy Spirit is within you, it's amazing the things that we do because, I mean, I know that I believe that I'm great through the power of God because he allows me to be able to say certain things or just speak from the heart because I know that it's his love and the Spirit that speaks through me. Am I educated, you know, even like JB or, you know, pastors or ministers that are highly trained? No, but I know that if we really just study what the Bible says, and it's not an easy book to pick up, but, you know, one of the best ways to learn about who Jesus was in the book of John. And it's really because John the Baptist was carrying the way. Did you want to say something?
That's your feedback.
Okay, got it. And so this is what we learn about Jesus. To me, in the book of John the Baptist, he demonstrates his humanness, yet he demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit within him. And we're also going to read, we're going to go to Mark 9:1, which is the next book after, and it says, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. So this is basically saying that, you know, the kingdom will come some within our lifetimes. Not everybody will be dead and raised from the dead from their gravestones. I mean, some of us will be able to see it, and it's going to be an amazing thing. I mean, I'm fearfully happy about it. You know, I know we're going to see a lot of turmoil as we're seeing it around the world and even here in our nations with so many school shootings. I mean, it's like they keep popping up and, you know, gun control situations and whatnot. It feels like we're all our power or all the things that we have put our faith in, money, power, nothing is going to save us but our relationship with God. And this is what it's calling us to. And really, I think how amazing if I were to be, you know, alive during this, you know, when the time comes and that we are witnesses, that we sit strong, that we were able to say, oh my gosh, everything that God wrote in the Bible is true. And I mean, what do you think about that, Maria? Just standing and knowing that we will see the tribulation come.
It's happening. I think we're seeing it already. And that's what I don't think most of us are grasping, that it really isn't the coming of the kingdom. We're living in the kingdom. We're there. It's happening. The tribulation's happening. We're watching it live and in living color. Rebecca, I don't know if you're still there or if you're off of mute. I know that you're listening. We've been watching it for a long time. However, I remember my grandmother's
generation, them saying the same thing, okay? And in my grandmother's generation, them saying the same thing. However, as we all have been a witness, and I was talking to Lady Grace about this on her show, Food Pharmacist, on Friday, that it just, everything since 1965, everything has sped up so quickly, and our lives have totally transformed. And now with technology, we're the tribulations, we're in it. It's happening. You are so excited about being so little because we're living in the tribulation. God said, come to me as little children. And right now, going to him as little children is so vital and so important, because we are in the middle of the tribulation, is what I think. So exciting, absolutely, because it doesn't matter. Growing up Catholic, I never picked up this book. I never picked up the Bible. He has practically educated me that everything in it is true. I don't even have to pick it up to know why. Because the Bible is within you. It will speak through you if you silence yourself long enough to pick up your own thoughts. Then just pick up the book and, oh my gosh.
Or you can download an app on your whatever, okay?
But what you will learn is that everything in it is true. And God will bring it to light if you choose it and if you ask him.
Amen. It says, and we will see the kingdom of God come with power. There's definitely nothing on this earth that God doesn't make obvious. So I know, I mean, we'll definitely see it. And then we jump on to the next scripture, which is John 3:1-7. Bible thumping.
It's not thumping.
No.
There's music, it'd be thumping.
It says, okay, it says, Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. He always told us the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. But you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So with it, everyone was so it is with everyone born of the spirit. So being born again. And I mean, when I first heard that, I was like, you know, I guess I could understand where Nicodemus was coming from, because we take everything in the literal physical aspect. I mean, it's not like I can climb back into my mom's womb and say, hey, I'm born again, I'm clean, I'm fresh. But really just being born because we have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are basically surrendering our lives to God and saying, you are in control. And through that blessing, God gives us a special gift. And we all have that gift within us if we are just willing to relinquish that onto God and really just saying, I'm going to be cleansed, baptism, to be submerged underwater and to die to our old self, basically. And that's what baptism is, dying to your old self and being born again of spirit, because God has given us this opportunity to clean our slate. And this is what God does. He wipes away all our wrongdoing. It's like, for him, it's like, you're my child. We can, it's a restoration of our relationship with him, or the relationship that we abandon, or a relationship with that we started, because a lot of people
don't have any type of religious background. They're so turned off by what they see on TV, media. I mean, myself being raised Catholic and hearing all these stories about, you know, these archbishops, these priests, and all this secrecy and hiding of all these, you know, molestation and, you know, pedophile type of things. I mean, it's really sad what we hear. And, you know, we grew up with that. And so I know it's difficult to put our faith in men. And, you know, especially if they're not living according to the word. And this is really how we know people are disciples, is those who are willing to pick up their crosses, those who are basically saying, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And it's really about pleasing God and not pleasing your fellow neighbor and person. Am I perfect? No. I have Maria, who's my spiritual accountability partner, you know, and she will teach me the truth and love according to what the Bible says, or back at her. You know, sometimes we have our own little spiritual wars and battles, but you know what? It's about calling each other to the truth. You know, none of us want to hear or be corrected. It's the most difficult thing to take on is to be told, hey, you did something wrong. And it's like, now I have to deal with this. And but, you know, the truth and love will set you free, because then we're being called back onto that main road and not the highway and not the fast track. We're being basically brought back to the path that we're meant to find. And that's what, you know, accountability in the kingdom is. We all need somebody. It's not an easy walk to take by ourselves. It's a lonely road if we try to do it on our own. We will fail. But with God, we can't fail, because if He is for us, He can be against us. And a lot of people will be against us, but, you know, He has our back. He's saying, you know, I'll take care of it. You know, don't let your enemies scare you or frighten you, because I know right now what I'm walking through right now in my own personal life, I could be scared out of my mind. Sure, you know, some worry or doubts do set in, but, you know, when you truly put your faith in God, it's like he lifts away that burden. And it's just having that relationship, and really the Holy Spirit is your best friend as you're walking through this path and walking in righteousness and doing what is right. And then again, doing what is right is not always the easiest thing to do. And I know that my brother JB has been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is a true warrior out there, and God has blessed him with the kingdom within. And do you want to share some of your experience with that?
Well, yeah, I kind of wanted to speak just first on to what you were just mentioning about things that are happening within the church, such as, you know, Catholic priests, you know, doing those depravable things. I mean, that's part of Satan's, one of his tools that he uses is he is, as they say in the New Testament, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And that's a lot of what happens within the church, and unfortunately the Catholic Church. You know, that's been a struggle since Jesus was resurrected. You know, a power struggle between, you know, the church had a lot of influence back after Jesus resurrected in government. And they used the church as a way to control people. And Satan being able to infiltrate the Catholic Church and doing those things with the priests, that does shake people's faith in God. And, you know, that's one of our biggest challenges, you know, our on our money. Even we have "In God We Trust" printed on our money, yet we don't allow prayers in school. You know, so that kind of makes you question, you know, or what is the government that we have? Is it really a faith-based government? It's really not becoming that. I mean, this is Satan's world. I mean, it says in the Bible clearly that this is the world that he's given Satan to run. All of the governments are under his control until Jesus returns. So it's important that we make that distinction. You know, when, you know, I'm not trying to get political because I'm independent, but when Republicans are claiming, you know, they're led by God, you know, and they're doing things for self-serving reasons, such as giving Halliburton contracts whenever they're making these wars. We just have to make sure that we're opening our eyes completely, as frightening as it is, and making sure that we're separating ourselves from that and realizing that, you know, this is eventually going to be the New World Order that's talked about in the Bible, you know, one world government, one world religion, and the Antichrist. That's all coming, and we need to be very vigilant of that. But what were you, I'm sorry, what were you, I kind of got off track. You had, you segued into something with me, and I'm not sure what it was. Because
I mean, just the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, your blessings that God has bestowed upon you. And, you know, remember receiving the Holy Spirit, or when you know that it's really the Holy Spirit that intercedes within you.
Oh, yes. I mean, the way that you know that is because you'll be speaking things that you have no prior knowledge of. So when you're speaking things with confidence and you're hearing them yourself, and you know that you don't know this, you know, it's like you'll say something and you'll be hearing it, and the other person will be hearing it for the first time, but the speaker's hearing it for the first time too. And I think that maybe speaks to the gift of prophecy that is spoken about in 1 Corinthians, I believe, 14, when he's saying, above all spiritual gifts, desire prophecy. Because that's really important. That's going to be our weapon in combating, you know, the future, because those that are in power that are actually against us, they are trying to script the future to what they want it to be. They'll never be able to overcome what God has planned. I mean, those plans are futile. But our main weapon against that is prophecy. And us developing that gift is the most important thing that we can do outside of love. Because it says without love, then we're just a sounding gong. And I was wanting to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because we really need, as a church, to learn with each other how to develop these gifts that he's told us, that he's given us through the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a multitude of gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. You know, and I wonder sometimes when the tongues of the Holy Spirit were first, given to everybody at the Pentecost, I believe it was, in Acts.
The book of Acts, yeah.
Right, when that happened. And it was so powerful. I mean, even one time when they were all sharing belongings and money, and they were really living as a community, which, you know, we're being prevented from doing that now with our current government. Whenever that one couple tried to hold back one portion of the land that they sold, and they lied to them when they were asked, is this all that you were, you know, given when you sold your property? And they said, yeah. And they said, oh, you dare lie against the Holy Spirit. I mean, they struck them dead on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
It was him and his wife.
Yeah, his wife was struck dead after, because she tried to corroborate the lie after her husband had lied. They were able to raise the dead. They were able to heal people. I mean, basically, they were able to do the same things that Jesus was doing whenever he was on the earth, which is powerful, which is what he intended us to be able to do. Jesus even told us that we're going to be able to do that. He says, you'll see even greater things than these after I'm gone. And it just concerns me, and it feels like this maybe is something that's been stifled, you know, over the generations by, you know, the controlling governing bodies of the world, which is the angels of light, of trying to suppress our gifts, because we have them. I mean, nothing's changed. I mean, I want to know, like, I'm asking a question right now, like, what's changed between 2013 today and AD, you know, 34 or whatever it was first were given the Holy Spirit and the gifts? What happened to all of that power?
We have quenched it. We have quenched it. A lack of faith, really.
But yeah. where do we go back to begin developing these gifts? I mean, I doubt that he wanted us to only have those temporarily and then like, oh, well, you know, it's been suppressed for a while, so it's gone forever. I don't think it's gone forever. You know, we've got to find a way to get that power back.
And that's what leads us back to the word, you know. I mean, I am grateful that I had an upbringing that was faith-based, because I can't imagine growing up in a household that there was nothing that you were taught to lean on. You know, God was not an option. And this is what the generations that we see, God is not an option. People are turned off by church, and it's really those who have held on to the word that want to teach our upcoming generations. You know, somebody taught you and you fell in love with God because God is good to us. He really is. And, you know, when we talk about his discipline and all the trials that we go on here on earth, it's all meant for a reason, because he's shaping us. He is molding us. He is sculpting us. And he is really just molding our hearts and reminding us that he is in control. And it's, you know, I have my moments where I know that it's easy to walk off that path, you know, but God makes it really obvious to me, you know, where I would be without him. And it's going back to the word, or even just allowing yourself to say, okay, I'm going to listen to what the word has to say. And it really takes humility. It takes a lot of humility to say, I'm going to surrender to what this book is saying. And I just want to touch back on the kingdom of God. We're going to look at Luke 17 through 20, and it says, once having been asked by the Pharisees, who we knew were the religious leaders of the time, when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And I know that that's something Maria had touched base on, but really the Holy Spirit is within us. So we either feed the Spirit or we don't. And we feed the Spirit through the word, through being around disciples, like you said in the book of Acts. People came together, shared their belongings, they broke bread together. It's really about being a community. And that's what really Soul Sister Radio is about. It's just being a community that is locking arms in faith and really making the Bible the chief cornerstone of our lives. And really, that's what challenges. It is really about carrying our cross. It's a heavy cross to carry our burden. But that's it's a daily decision we have to make, that we're either going to be close to God or we're going to be distant. And it's really up to us, because we have that free will to choose. And, you know, we have the free will to sleep in and not be part of the show. Or we have the will to wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to be blessed by the word. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to share about it, because it's really our fuel. You know, we think about waking up in the morning and having breakfast so we can go and, you know, go out about our day. But really, we need our spiritual food. We need our spiritual manna. This is what feeds the soul. This is what feeds the spirit. And, you know, that's what the church is. It's the kingdom within and sharing that kingdom with others. We have the keys to bring others into the kingdom. It's a gift that God has given us, and through our lives, through our examples, through what we do. And even sometimes through what we don't do, because we need to be called back to righteousness. We talked about King David and his fall with Bathsheba, but you know what? He went back and asked God to give him a contrite spirit, a clean heart. And it means going back and starting all over every time we fall short. But the hand of God is there to raise us and pick us up and saying, dust yourself off, my child. I'm here. You know, lean on me. And really, it's about leaning in God. And what do you have to say, Maria?
I think that right now, leaning on God is probably the hardest thing to do when you've been walking a path for a very long time. And this is why this program and this particular series is so important. When you've been leaning on God in blind faith and you're walking a path and it's still difficult, and you all know what I'm talking about, those who really get it, okay? Leaning on God sometimes is weary in of itself, and this is why. Learning and getting all these tools, it's vital that you don't let go of that lean, so to speak. So we have
three minutes.
Yeah.
We're not going to play another song. We have 3 minutes, so go ahead and close us out.
Well, amen. First of all, I want to thank our audience. Thank you for all those listening or who will be listening. And JB, we want to thank you for your insight, your wisdom, and just the spirit to wanting to be part of this. It really encourages us because, like we shared, it is about a community and like-minded hearts coming together. And we all have a purpose, and God has you working with us for a purpose because He is preparing you for something great. You have your soul sisters that have your back, even though we're obviously, you know, miles and miles away from one another. Your spirit is still here with us, and hopefully we know that our spirit is there with you. And we love you, and we are grateful for the gifts that God has given to you. And, you know, we do pray, and we hope that the listeners, you know, do take the time and say, okay, let me pull out this Bible, or let me download it on my smartphone and really just take a look. There's a reason why this book has, you know, outlasted times, and it's the best-selling book yet to date still. And it's His word will, you know, surpass all understanding because this is our guiding light. And dear Father God, I just want to close out with a little prayer. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you for sending it before our eyes. Thank you for leading us to understand it, to understand your love for us, to understand that the power that your Holy Spirit and how amazingly it works, Father, and how it heals from within, how we can help others heal, how it just, it's really coming to you on our knees and surrendering our hearts to you and saying, here, God, take this heart of mine. Clean it, wring it out, whatever you have to do, make it right so that I may shine as white as before, Father. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for our sponsors. Thank you for the gift of speaking. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio that we can use this as a forum to reach those worldwide as we're on the web, God. And we pray for us to start new relationships with you. We can rekindle that fire and to praise and honor you, God. We love you in your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go out with a song that, JB, you're a warrior. Magdalena, you're a warrior. Rebecca, you're a warrior. Becky, you're a warrior. Susie, you're a warrior. Kareen, you're a warrior. Grace, you're a warrior. All of our hosts here on Soul Sister Radio. We have picked up our armor, and we are fighters. So here we go. See you next week on Soul Sister Radio.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you. But in the end, I want to thank you, because you made me that much stronger.
When I
Soul Sister Radio.